If you will tonight, turn with me to John 19 as we can continue our look at the statements that Christ made from the cross. The seven statements that he made. Tonight we move to the third one. And the third one is found in John 19. And we will read 25 through 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own. Let us pray. O Lord, I thank thee once again tonight in thy faithfulness that you have provided freedom for us to worship you, that you have provided a place, and that you have brought us here in safety and good health this night. I pray, O Lord, you would be pleased to rid our minds of all the things that beset us, the unbelief, the thoughts of self. Lord, that you would be pleased tonight to bring us to thy feet. And Lord, we would learn, we would see more of thee. That you would be pleased to reveal thyself in these passages. Oh Lord, show us tonight that great love. Lord, may you be glorified in all that is said. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And that is what we see tonight. As we've seen throughout this whole study, every time the Lord opens his mouth, you see love. Love for his people. The first time he said anything, he asked the Father to forgive them, for they know not what they do. Last week we discussed the words to the thief on the cross where he said, Today you will be with me in paradise. In both of those instances, Jesus was showing love and care for others. And tonight is no different. As he turns to John, or he speaks to John, and he says, Woman, behold thy son. Or he says to Mary to look at John. And then he says to John, Behold thy mother. As he's leaving off this earth, as he's in his last hours, Jesus did not neglect his responsibilities as a man. Because one thing we don't hear is we don't hear Joseph. Joseph has died. He's passed away by now. In fact, many believe he's been gone for a long time because when Jesus performed his first miracle at Cana, and at that wedding he addressed Mary, his mother, there was no mention of Joseph being with her. But that's speculation. But we do know that he's not here with them now, because it would be his responsibility to take care of Mary. But that responsibility fell on Jesus after Joseph had passed away. So now, as he goes to the cross and as he's hanging there in agony, as he's been forsaken of the Father, as he has been made sin for us who knew no sin, he makes a plea and he makes a command and he makes provision for his children once again. So, he once again shows us that he fulfills all righteousness as our legal representative. He did everything perfectly. He kept every law. He kept every ordinance. He kept every custom. He kept every tradition. As it pleased the Father and as it pleased him to do for his people, to show us. And so Paul in Romans 5:19 says this, For as one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, and that's Adam he's speaking about. so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That's what Christ's perfect obedience wrought for you and I today. The robe of righteousness that we will be robed with, or are robed with, in the sight of the Father. Because of His perfect obedience, you and I, if we be in Him, have perfect obedience. That's His righteousness. That's what Paul just said. He has made righteous His church by His perfect obedience. Later, Paul would write this in 1 Timothy 5:8. He said, "But if any man provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." An infidel is a non-believer. An infidel is one who doesn't believe in God. Paul said, you're worse than that if you don't take care of the ones you love and the brethren, the people of God. And we see both of those fulfilled tonight. Because Mary, and this is what most of religion misses. Mary is a child of God. Mary is not a god. Mary is not to be exalted. Mary is a child of God, just as John is. And so, what we have on record for us tonight, once again, He honors the fifth commandment, and He makes it honorable. All the law that He kept and fulfilled, and of course that is honor thy father and mother, and He did. All the way to the death, till His final, He made all provision for her on a fleshly basis, but most importantly, spiritually. And so, He fulfilled everything through His perfect obedience. But with all of that being said tonight, of course, there's a much deeper meaning here. Of course, there's much more here than what's been said. So we'll go ahead and we'll start in 25. And as we start in 25, we see these few words here at the beginning. Now, there stood by the cross of Jesus, His mother. Now she is with her mother's sister, which is Salome. She is with Mary Magdalene, and she's with Mary, the wife of Cleophas. All relatives to her or friends to her. And they are all standing next to the cross, or as close as they can get to the cross, that the soldiers allowed them to get there. And now think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, standing there watching Him dying on the cross. And just when you start to have thoughts of, oh, poor Mary, and it's heart-wrenching. I'm not taking anything away from that. I want you to understand what took place just minutes before. She heard from the mouth of Christ, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And she heard Him say to that thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Why is that important? Because Mary is not looking at Jesus as being His earthly mother. She's looking at Him as being her Savior. We'll get to that in a minute. But what we see now with her soul in travail was prophesied. And when the Scriptures write something down, and when the Scriptures say something's going to come about, it does. And this fulfilled what Simeon said would take place. Remember Simeon? When he was in the temple, and the Lord laid it upon Mary and Joseph to bring Jesus that day to the temple. And he came to the temple that day, and the Lord led him there, and he picked that baby Jesus up, and he said, "Now today I've seen the salvation. I've seen the Savior. Lord, take me away now. I've lived. I've seen exactly what I wanted to see. But in the meantime, he said these words in Luke 2:35. He said, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul." Speaking to Mary. As he addressed Mary, he said, "A sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." This was a fulfillment. She had sat there. She had watched Christ on the cross. Her heart has sunk to the bottom. She has great compassion and love for the Savior. She has seen it in front of her take place. When 10 out of the 11 disciples have already fled and none of them are to be found. But one. We hear who that one is tonight, and that's John. He's there. So the Lord at this time makes provision for the four of them to come close to him. John is standing with them, as we see from our text tonight. So as he says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene." Then we have the next term. He turns to Mary. It says, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved." So John is standing right next to her. "He saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son." This is where a lot of the false religions get it wrong. When they believe that he was referring to himself and therefore exalting Mary to a position right next to him. "Behold your son," like you're on even par with me. I know, far-fetched, but it's believed. Still believed today. You'll hear the deity of Mary, especially in the Catholic faith. But many believe in a higher calling for Mary because of a passage like this. Clearly, I hope you can see that he's not speaking of himself and Mary. He's speaking to John. That's why the scriptures say that. The disciples standing, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, and John's the writer of this. And this is inspired by the Holy Ghost. John was there. John saw it. He knew Christ was speaking to him and her. And so he says to Mary, "Woman, behold thy son." And when he says thy son, he's not talking about by birth, and he's not talking by adoption. He's talking and addressing it to John for him who to show himself as a son to her and love and care for her. That's what he meant. Treat her like her son did, me, as Jesus provided for her all of her needs while he was here and Joseph was gone. And now he bestows that upon John. And I want you to understand, he addresses her as woman. And you might think that that's, in this day and age, people would say that's rude. But it wasn't rude. In fact, you won't find him ever address her as mother. You will hear him address her over and over as woman. Because see, something happened at birth. When Jesus was born to Mary, all of the familial relations died that day. The Son of God has come. And when he called her woman, he addressed her in her earthly role. And there's a reason for that. Because that's all she had. Yes, she's a child of God. Yes, she's a sinner just like you and I, regardless of what anybody says to you. That's why Jesus addressed it. Remember at that same miracle in Cana? He said, "Woman, what have I done to thee? What am I going to do with thee? Basically, my hour hasn't come." He addressed her as woman. Showing us, listen, this is the omniscient God. This is God incarnate. You don't think He knew what man would do with Mary? You don't think He knew what the fallen nature would do to exalt someone other than Himself at this time in His life when He is laying down His life for His church? Of course He did. And He addresses her as woman to show her He was the Son of God. And she knows He's the Son of God. And she knows exactly that He came to save His people from their sins. How do I know that? Well, go with me over to Luke 1. You say, Luke 1, that's got to be at His birth. Yeah, Luke 1. Now look at me. Look with me starting in verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, thou art blessed among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest." He's the Son of God. "And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." This was not only prophesied to Mary, this was preached to Mary. Mary knew exactly who she would be carrying in her womb. There was nothing hidden from her. This was not an ordinary child. And she says that in 34 when she said unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" I've never known a man in that way. How is it that I can be with child? And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now, how much does Mary know about her salvation? How much does Mary know that this is the Son of God, but not only is He the Son of God, but He's her Savior? That this is the Messiah that they've been waiting for. How much does she know? Turn the page. Turn the page. Well, in my Bible it is. Over to verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul is beaming, showing glory to the Lord. I'm so overcome with joy and awe that the Lord would choose her to give birth to the Son of God, not the Son of Mary." I can't stress that to you enough. Look at 47. "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." He hasn't even been born yet. And it's been revealed to her
that He is her Savior. So what does that tell me? And what does that tell you? That the Lord revealed to her early that she was carrying the Son of God, and that it was His, He was her Savior. How does that go into mother-son relationships? It's different, isn't it? Oh yeah. Because that this son is not a son of the flesh. He's the Son of God. For He has regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Well, Mary, they do call you blessed. Because you had the Son of God. You gave birth to the Son of God. But sadly, a lot of the world not only called you blessed, they called you, put you on equal par with the Son of God, which you'll never see from Mary. You won't. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things. You know what she just said? It's all of Him. He just revealed to me I have salvation in the Son of God who's going to be coming into this world now. And holy is His name. She didn't say holy is our name. Holy is His name. And His mercy is on them that fear Him. He has showed strength from generation to generation. He has showed strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats. This is the Messiah she sees that she's going to be, if not now, is carrying. Hasn't given birth yet. This is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent empty away. He has holpen His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. He has had mercy to His people. He has come to save them from their sins. He is now being manifested. All that the prophets spoke of. The one that John the Baptist, the last Old Testament prophet, had just been at this time speaking, saying, He is coming. And Mary says, this is the one. She never at this time hadn't heard John because John hadn't been born yet either. But Elizabeth had told her, I think that's the part we skipped over. Yeah, Mary went to visit Elizabeth. Elizabeth told her she was having a child. That's John the Baptist. That's the one that's going to herald Christ coming. And she's going to hear that too. But she's going to hear Jesus preach too. And that's what I said. This day, that our text is taking place, that she sees Christ hanging there, she's heard Him preach. She's heard and seen the great love that He has for His church. And she's numbered in that church. Not exalted in that church. She's numbered in that church. Just alongside of you and me if we be in Christ. She's a sinner just like we are. Saved by grace. That's what this whole is magnified my soul. I'm humbled. There's no reason for you to pick me, Lord. As He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. So let's go back to our text. So that's Mary's thoughts. Mary knows that this is the Son of God. He has revealed Himself to her as her Savior, the Messiah, and not a son after the flesh. Now think about that today, because we're inundated with a religion that exalts Mary so much, and yet the Lord came to Mary and revealed to her that she was a child of God and not that she was exalted. I mean, that's amazing to me that a lot of fallen men could make a religion out of worshiping a woman because she was the mother of Jesus. And yet she never did. She never even gave it thought. From the very beginning, that's why I took you there. From the very beginning, it was revealed to her that's her Savior that she's carrying. It wasn't just a little boy. And so now, then saith he to the disciple. Then he addresses the disciple. So you have to imagine now, Jesus is hanging on the cross. So his eyes first fixated. First he looked at the two of them. He made eye contact with both of them. His hands are bound. He says to the mother, he said, "Behold thy son." Probably glances over at John. Now his eyes are fixated on John. And now he says to the disciple, "Behold thy mother. Take her and treat her as your mother." But as I've already said and I've already hinted on, this purpose of him doing this transaction is to correct and reprove all of the error that fallen man would give or show concerning Mary in exalting her or showing her reverence. And that's very important. Because if you haven't had conversations with those of that religion, that false religion, you probably will. And when they go to exalt Mary on equal par with Jesus, you are armed with the Holy Scriptures that tell you, that reveal tonight, that that wasn't the plan of Jesus. And it wasn't what was revealed to Mary. And it wasn't what was revealed to John. As I said, he addressed her as woman. Now hold your finger there and go to Matthew 12 with me. Now, look at this, beginning in 47. I'm sorry, we'll back up to 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. You know, they came up to where Jesus is teaching and they wanted to have audience with Jesus. They wanted his attention. Then one said unto him, "Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee." But he answered and said unto him that told him, "Who is my mother? And who are my brethren?" And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, toward those who followed him, toward those who were his church, toward his body of believers. And he said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren." Once again, showing us what? He didn't exalt his familial relations over the people of God. You see that? They had a special place for him, but all of his church has that place. All that he died for, not one is exalted over another. "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and my mother." And that puts all of his children on even par. Sinners saved by grace. Because without grace,
we're not going to do the will of the Father. And we're not going to be the same as his brother and sister and mother. He's called our brother born out of adversity. Christ is that relationship to us. He is our brother. He is even called the everlasting Father. His relationship to us is he is our Lord. And he is our everything. And it doesn't matter that Mary gave a physical birth to him. Mary didn't value that physical birth more than she did the new birth that she would have by his giving through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's where the message is tonight. That's why the importance of the words that Christ says tonight. Yes, full of love and caring. Don't ever miss that. I can't underscore that enough to you tonight, that the love and mercy and grace that he showed in his time of agony and his time of being forsaken and his time, all of that shows us the depth of his grace and love. But even in this moment, he's still showing that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the truth. Not the error that I've been spending a lot of time with to warn you about tonight. He's the truth. That's the importance of our text tonight, back here in our text. Woman, behold thy son. Behold thy mother. You have an earthly relationship now. Go take care of her. Fulfill that responsibility. I'm giving that one to you. And really, what did he do? Gave it to one of the members of his church to take care of another member in his church. That's how he reveals himself to us. To take care of the needs of one another. To love one another. To put others above ourselves. Because the sacrificial love of Christ is what's on display for us once again. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. And I might add, he provided for them to the end. She, like any child of God, or all that are in Christ, depended upon him for life. He provided for his own. He provides her faith. He provides her love. Turn with me over to 2 Corinthians. Last place we'll go before we finish in our text. Go with me over to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. And I want you to look at 14 through 17 tonight. And I want to read it with you. And I want you to keep Mary in your thoughts, and also yourself, of how the Lord's revealed himself to you. Look at 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. It holds us. It enables us to love him. We love him because he first loved us. The love of Christ constrains us because this is the judgment. We thus judge that if one died for all, which he did, he died for all of his church, then we're all dead. We were all dead in sins and trespasses. He must die to give us life. That's what his love reveals to us. His love reveals to us this sacrifice we've been talking so much about. That the Lord laid down his life for his friends, for his church. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Dear ones, this is our problem when we're focused on ourselves and the problems we have
and the things that are going on in our minds, in our life, when we do that, we don't and are not showing love to Him, the one who is worthy of the love. You and I haven't done anything. We're not worthy of love. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. He rose triumphant. He gave His life a ransom for many. And because of that, today, by that faith that He gives, we live unto Him. We love Him because of Him, because of His work. His sin-atoning, finished work upon the cross. This is where I'm headed. 16. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. Think about Mary. She knew Christ after the flesh. That was her Son, after the flesh. The disciples knew Him as He ate and drank and did things in front of them. Paul said, we don't know Him that. He's dead and risen and ascended into heaven. We don't know Him that way anymore. We don't, that's why we don't wear, or we don't have pictures of Him all over our houses or in the church. We don't have them. We don't know Him after the flesh. We yet now henceforth know we Him no more that way after the flesh. We know Him as the Holy Spirit reveals Him. We know Him in our heart. We know Him in our mind. We know Him in our soul. Because that's where the Holy Spirit reveals Him. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, and that include Mary, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And when the Lord revealed that to Mary, the familial relationship was absorbed into the spirit, the child of God seeing His Lord relationship. Seeing Christ as who He is, just as it is for you and I. New creatures in Christ Jesus. Now let's go back to our text. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. And that means that he took her and he provided for her in the things that she had need of. And don't miss that either. From that hour, from that very time when Jesus dismissed his spirit and he moved off this time, off this, when he passed off this scene, he died. John immediately. He didn't confer with flesh and blood. He didn't go ask his wife if it was okay. He took Mary home, just as the Lord had commanded and enabled him. That's the love of Christ that constrains us. That's the love that teaches us that he died and rose again. That's the love that Christ has to bestow his faith upon us. He has provided everything in himself. He has fulfilled all righteousness for us. To him be all glory. Paul said in Philippians 4:19, and I'll leave you with this thought. But my God, and I truly believe I can say that with the same authority Paul did. My God that's been revealed to me shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Everything that he has stored in glory, all the faith, all the mercies, all the love, all the long suffering, the patience, everything that you and I have need of, Paul says, God shall supply it according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's why he's the way, the truth, and the life. That's why he is life. And that's why, as we come to our third statement tonight that the Lord made, he made it to show his people his preeminence. His love for his church, his provisions he made for his church. But make no mistake about it, that he is the Son of God. And he is worthy of all of our worship and all of our praise. To him be all glory. Dear Heavenly Father, add thy power and thy clarity. And Lord, show us, as you have every day, the great love and mercy you have for us. I thank thee, Lord, that you have provided all things for us. Oh, Lord, give us the faith to know and to apprehend thee. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.